Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Lindsey Wolfgang.
Hi.
Asa Gray.
Hello.
And getting his second shot on the Podzilla 1985 Network is JR.
Hello.
I forgot your last name. Davis, is that your last name?
Yeah, sure.
We'll go with that.
Professionalism.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we got a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about today. A lot of new stuff with Marvel. And Lindsey, at the very least, are going to talk about Ghostbusters towards the end of the show. So look forward to that. And there's some Pokemon stuff going on. So,
yay.
Without further ado, that's not how you actually say that. That's a completely different word.
Yeah, it's Eddie.
The NES Mini is the first thing I want to talk about. Nintendo announced they have a one of those like cheap super consoles that you find at Walmart and Target and whatnot.
Yeah,
like the 30-in-1 things with this kind of similar controller.
I know the Genesis has them too.
I know the Genesis had one for a while.
And Atari. Mm-hmm.
And Atari, a bunch of them have been doing it. So Nintendo has decided to jump in this, put their hat in the ring with the NES Mini. It will have 30 games built in, which are actually it's a pretty solid set.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's got a bunch of popular stuff in there, like Mega Man 2, Donkey Kong.
It's got Mario 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, does it have all three of them?
Yes, okay. It does. Unless I can't read, but they were at the very bottom of the list.
Yeah. It has Castlevania 1 and 2.
Castlevania.
The first two
Zelda Tetris
games, I think,
is on there also.
Yeah. Also, JR, if you're going to talk into the microphone, you're going to want to speak up.
Oh, I think it has the first two Zelda games on there.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually got, like, if you were to go ahead and, like, buy price each of them individually, you probably have about $150 to $200 worth of games built into that. Because, obviously, the NES at this point is a collector's market. And the NES itself is, you know, still a $50 to $60 console. So, for those of you just wanting to grab a few of the classics, this will be a $60 system. Be kind of neat, but from the looks of it, you cannot put carts in it. So,
and that's the thing that I think, like, because the Genesis one that I've seen, I can't speak to, like, its build quality. Like, a lot of those, you know, bunch of games in one are garbage.
Yes.
Like, they are just, like, they were
trash
made,
tier.
Oh, so bad. Pokemon Go level bad.
Yes.
But, like, but you could at least have, they at least had where you could add whatever cartridge and just play from the cartridge as well.
Yes, that
I really
is
wish
accurate.
This would be an, this would, like, I would immediately buy one. I already have it pre-ordered if I could put a cartridge in there.
Yep.
But I can't, so I'm like, eh.
The
number of ROMs and emulators.
Right. The other thing that I don't like about this system is that it looks like the controller ports, and I haven't seen if it comes with the controllers. I tried to find a picture today and could not. All I can keep finding is the picture of the dude holding it in his hand.
Right.
And it's
look
tiny.
Look how wee it is.
Speaking of wee, it takes, like, it has the same controller port as the Wii Classic controller from the looks of it.
Oh, God.
So, like, that, it's not a terrible controller, but it ain't a great one either. Because it's their four-button controller with the two sticks. Yeah, I don't want that. I want, you know, if I'm going to play
a classic controller.
Right, and I want the ports to be that, so I could, you know, put a classic controller in there if I wanted to. It's silly looking, but hopefully it has actual controllers with it, like, you know, the NES ones. I'd even take a dog bone controller.
Yeah,
because they were more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But you just...
If
you
it takes the Wii Pro controller, then it... Or not the Pro controller.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, okay. The classic controller.
Yeah, never mind.
The one that
Shannon
had to use to play GoldenEye.
Yeah. Which is like a pro controller, but missing
but
two
worse.
Buttons and all the comfort.
Yeah, because I was like, even then, like, hopefully, because I don't have a Wii anymore. I have my Wii U for some reason, but I have the Wii U pro controller, which I really like.
Yeah, it's an awesome controller.
That's what I've been playing Donkey Kong on. Yeah, just let me use that,
right.
If anything. Don't make me buy a... outdated Wii peripheral to play classic. Can we not talk? Nintendo. Stop it.
Maybe they'll release it and you have to use the classic controller, and when they hear all the outrage about it, they'll be like, all right, we'll compromise.
Plug in your...
Also, there are zappers now.
plug in your
no,
Wii
they'll,
U
they'll
GameCube
bring back
controller
the power
adapter.
Glove.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. All right, let's go. We got to stop giving Nintendo these ideas. It's bad. It's bad for business.
It's the all new original Nintendo.
Ew. Speaking of Pokemon Go, we'll go ahead and move forward from that. Pokemon Go found out is the hottest selling piece of shit application to ever hit the market.
Ever.
At like $14 million in microtransactions have occurred on their market, which is just
silly.
Yeah, any other application, and I say this, like, me, Asa, and JR here just came back from a Poke Walk where we went downtown, and my app only crashed once.
I had to reset mine once.
Yeah,
I haven't played in 3 days.
Yeah, no, it's just the if any other application pulled what this one has pulled, it would have been dead in the water. Like,
we want them Rattatas
and them Pidgeys, and don't forget Eevee. Yeah, no, like any other application, anything, literally anything that pulled this would just be dead, gone, not a second chance.
Immediately uninstalled.
Yeah,
1-star review.
Mm-hmm.
All caps. Wish I could give it 0.
But instead, we're still playing.
Because we got to catch them all.
Yeah, it's Pokemon. Pokemon is like having that one jerk friend that you just can't stay mad at.
It's like that puppy that it pisses on the carpet, and you want to rub its nose in it, but you
and
just...
And then he just looks at you.
With them little puppy eyes. It knows it's screwed up, but it doesn't want you to be mad at it. And then you can't be.
You just give him a hug instead.
I can be. Because that's the thing,
sure,
is like,
jerk,
I know, and I'm fine with it. The number of, like, I don't understand why people would pay money, especially for certain items, when the app, whenever, like, if the app crashes and you're in the use of an item that you paid money for, oh, about that.
Yeah.
So I know you just bought an incense and you wanted to use it, but you had to restart your app, so.
Good luck,
I mean, that you don't need that dollar.
Yep, no, that bugs the crap out of me, because like I haven't paid for anything in the application yet. Ooh. I plan on waiting for more stability, but my lucky egg and my lore that I got from leveling up, the first one of each that I got, it was one of the days that I had to work at the radio station. I was hanging out there, and it was actually me and Mandy were there, and I was like, all right, well, cool, I'm gonna go ahead and pop a lore for us. I'm gonna throw a lucky egg down, because this is before I knew about power leveling. And, you know, I'll level up crazy from hitting the stops and, you know, grabbing the Pokemans that is coming my way. And my app crashed. It was gone for the entirety. So I just lost that lure and that egg. Mandy caught a few Pokemon off the lure, but that was it. And, yeah, like, I looked at the prices of them. Yeah, it's like 80 cents is what it's going to cost you for an egg. Though I did find out that, and speaking of which, we might want to do it, like, sooner rather than later. If those gems that we just caught... You can earn coins for holding gems.
One of them's already taken.
Shiza.
I looked down and there was a Snorlax on it.
Yeah, you get like 10 coins for like Bollocks. Activating it originally, and then you get another 10 coins and some dust every 21 hours that your Pokemon's there.
Oh, ain't no one got any sort of... The way that these gyms are going downtown, like...
You're too close to a college campus. It ain't going to stay in any one hand.
Not even that, just downtown.
Yeah, right, man. But
there's
you
like
are getting...
Troves of kids down there.
You are getting 10 coins just for putting a Pokemon in there.
I also have both of mine back already.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you would have had to hit, like, the guard thing, like, immediately. Hunter found out the hard way that it doesn't do it automatically, which is real silly. You have to actually go to, like, your little profile thing and hit the guard... and you have to start activating it, and then you'll start earning coins every 21 hours, plus like a little bonus as soon as you click it.
What?
Yeah, so you missed out on 20 coins because you weren't aware of that.
So stupid. This app is so stupid.
It is.
But Canada and UK have it now.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
More users.
Which set their servers on fire.
Literally.
I think it's fun.
It is fun.
Oh, no,
when
it's
it
fun.
Works.
It's
That's
just...
why I haven't uninstalled it.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer and closer.
I laughed today. We had a meeting at work, and I haven't seen my boss in a week because he was on vacation, and then I was on vacation. And as soon as he saw me, he's like, this is a Pokemon free zone. And I'm like, I know better than to play the game at work. Thank you.
I know. I leave my app open because my guy walks around because the GPS is spotty. I hatch all my eggs.
My boss plays it at work, so I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Our job is also a cell phone free zone, so.
That's true. Mine is definitely not.
Ours is supposed to be.
I don't even have a manager.
Lucky.
Neat. All right. We'll go ahead and move past Pokemon Go into new Pokemon.
Woohoo!
So happier Pokemon news.
Are you sure they're happy? Well, have you looked at these Pokemon?
I'm happy about them.
Yeah.
So we got two new Pokemon in a Kuro magazine. It was Mimikyu,
which
is my favorite
adorable.
Of the two. It's
and horrifying.
This just wonderful little ghost-type Pokemon. The story behind it is that you can't see it without contracting some sort of illness, so it has to wear a disguise.
It's the thing from Futurama, the actor who has to wear the bag over his head.
Oh my god,
you can't
the
look
ego
at
dude?
Him or, yeah.
and he feeds off attention.
Is there going to be a giant, like, a new fungus-type Pokemon?
Oh, that would be his dog? Yeah. All right, well,
I don't know. A ghost fairy type, right?
I have no idea.
Probably.
I just know it's ghost
They're
type.
Real big about fairy types this time around.
I believe it, because they needed more, like, there weren't very many fairies.
Boo.
They also need to change how the fairy...
Boo.
It looks like they might be balancing some of the type advantages and stuff in this one again. Either way.
Fairy's a dumb type.
Do what?
Fairy's a dumb type. Buff poison.
Well, supposedly their new legendaries are all going to be fairy mixtures anyways.
You realize that by adding more fairy types, they are inadvertently buffing poison, right?
Yeah.
But just make poison cooler. I mean, it's hard, but...
I like the new...
That salamander
fire
was pretty
poison.
Sweet.
Yeah, the lizard. It looks cool.
That's actually the first one of the new lineup of stuff that I've actually been like, everyone's excited about the starters and like they have their favorite, and this is the first one that I'm like, yeah,
I
okay,
like
there's gonna be a spot for you.
Yeah, no,
Cutiefly is real adorable. Yeah, Mimikyu, I'm a big fan of. So this thing, because everybody loves Pikachu and it wants to be loved like Pikachu is loved. So it has crafted itself a Pikachu costume, and it's adorably terrifying.
It's great. Is it going to be one of those like sad Pokemon that it wants to look like it wants people to love it, so it wants people to look at it? But every time it's like Rogue, but it can't actually be looked at without killing people.
No, as long as you don't take its cloth off, you're good.
Yeah, that's okay. That's my understanding.
There's already new conspiracy theories out with the Ghost Girls and Phoebe's Elite Four gym and this new little Pokemon.
Fun times. And then I'm going to say it wrong, but Kateru Guma is it's a red panda that's black and pink, and it just wants to hug everyone, and it accidentally kills them because it hugs them too hard.
Because it doesn't know its own strength.
It's Lenny the Pokemon.
the fan art or whatever you showed us earlier, like that looks a lot better. Because the only thing that I've seen of it where it's just the pink head and everything else is just, like, pitch black.
It looks like a pedo bear with a black body and a pink face.
Kind of, but not even, like, I don't even care about that. It's just the color scheme looks like it's not finished.
Yeah.
Like,
it's real haphazard.
Every other Pokemon we've seen so far, there's a lot of, like, intricate detail and, like, patterns and stuff. And this is just, like, yeah, you get two colors and just the body's one, the head's the other. Just, okay, done.
Someone let their 3-year-old child color it in Photoshop.
I imagine somewhere, like, Shigeru Miyamoto or somebody's just like, you tried designing 750 things.
Hire me. Yeah. I will.
Absolutely. Like, I get it, but at the same time,
yeah, like I said, we'll have to wait until we see more, because all we have seen is that one picture from the article.
But the one that you showed us where it's like the back is pink and the tail is actually pink,
yeah,
like that looked a lot better. Just the fact that it wasn't just so two-toned.
And that actually did point out to me, if I looked up at the picture above it, you can see it has a tail in the actual magazine. So and the tail is pink and it's striped.
Into something awesome.
That'd be kind of I don't know what it would be, but
a considerably more angry Huggy Bear.
It didn't get hugged enough, and now it has two evolutions. If it loved you when it evolved, then it turns into
an all pink bear, and then if you hated it, it turns into an all black bear.
That just is so angry.
And eats your face.
Yeah.
All right. So
and it becomes Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
So they're kind of neat. And then moving past Pokemon, also just. Yeah, Mimikyu is going to be on my roster. That's going to happen.
I hope it blows.
It might, but it's awesome. I love that little guy. Anyway.
He's so neat.
Moving past Pokemon into Overwatch, because it wouldn't be a nerd up at this point without a little bit of Overwatch news. Much needed character balances are coming in the next patch that's already available on the PTR on PC, which is the public test realm for those wondering.
I was going to say that because I had no idea.
You're just throwing out random letters now.
Yeah, well, on the LBJK, I saw that this.
Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yes.
Lyndon B. Johnson Killers?
Yes, that's my clan.
Lyndon B. Johnson Kennedy.
Let's start Call of Duty and switch our clan tag.
The Lyndon B. Johnson Killers. Anyway, so there's going to be some cool changes for competitive mode that I'm kind of excited about. Like, you will no longer be able to duplicate characters, which Shannon was huge fan of.
Which, that's, I mean, it's mostly a good thing. R.I.P. Birdemic.
Yeah.
And the Birds of War.
Yeah. Which, for those wondering, me and Asa have the two of the legendary skins for Reaper. One of each, like the Nevermore and the Plague Doctor skins.
Which are bird masks.
Yeah, and they're awesome. Mm-hmm. And we would go around in competitive mode on certain maps. You can double Reaper is a thing.
You were the Pigeon Boys?
The Pigeon Boys, or the Birds of War.
Pigeon Boys.
No, I'm not going to do it. anyway, they're going to make that change to it. They're going to introduce Ana in the next patch. So we talked about last week the leak of the new character. It is, in fact, Farrah's mom, who I guess everybody thought was dead. Maybe she's not. But
because, like every other character in this game, was presumed dead.
Or she's just a zombie. Really.
Well, no, she got shot in the face and was left for dead in her little origin story.
She's a zombie.
She had, like the ultimate sniper shot where Widowmaker, like, shot through her scope.
She got out-sniped by Widowmaker because she hesitated, I guess, is the what happened in the story.
Don't hesitate,
so,
kids.
Yeah, now she has she was left for dead.
Yeah, kids, take the shot.
Oh, gosh. Ace of no.
I'm flagged.
This is not a Thursday show.
Do you guys hear helicopters?
Ana actually looks really cool. She is a support sniper. I'm pretty excited to play her. I have not played it on the PTR because I don't want to go to where there's six Anas v six Anas every game.
Or six Anas v five Anas in a Genji.
Right.
I've yet to really take an extensive look at the character model. Does she like have a messed up face?
No.
Just an eye patch.
She has an eye patch and she kind of has, her face is a little bit obscured by her hood.
Yeah,
One of her legendary skins is like her younger self, kind of like
super
they did with the
pirate
Genji and Hanzo. Morrison, and except this won't be part of the Origins collection. You'll actually be able to get it.
Yeah, it's one of the actual legendaries.
No, her rare skins. Like I don't know if you saw that.
The one of them looked exactly like
a warlock from Destiny.
Okay,
yes.
I wasn't the only.
Ah, sweet.
No, yeah, it looks awesome. It's one of the, because Farrah is the other one that has really really cool. Purple skins.
Mecha Queen.
Yeah. Well, the Mecha Queen is a legendary.
Oh, dang it.
The Jackal is a purple skin,
Just
the 250.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the black one and the silver one, and both of those are awesome.
Super sweet.
But yeah, and then it's going to be kind of the same thing with Ana. She has a couple of really cool purple skins, and then also some really cool legendary ones, including, like he was saying, the younger version of her. So you'll be able to play her in her prime.
Her launch is another thing. Like, Overwatch is getting real hard for me to want to keep playing. Because, like, the two matches we played today where I rage quit because we got teamed. Not only did we get put on teams where their team average was about 5 higher than our team average, our teammates were just pants on head stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they had no clue team composition. I'm going to use Hanzo on capture point.
You know what this team really needs? Another Widowmaker.
Yeah, pretty much. So between that and competitive, I don't want to deal with that. And then whenever she launches on quick play, I don't want to be playing someone who's like, well, I have a legendary Hanzo skin, so I'm going to be great with her. And each team is going to have 3 Anas for the first week that she's out.
And that's the really unfortunate thing. So you just really need to buy my PC and then play it on PC with
me. And a desk and a monitor and a hard drive.
All of those things.
No,
and
man,
a mouse.
Just tape it to your wall.
With a monitor, we have an extra one.
So I have an extra mouse.
I think
as long
I
as you don't mind there being random stickers on it that you may have to peel off.
I don't care.
And there may or may not be ponies
on it. The desk is the most important thing. Because if I have to keep it in my basement, I have to keep it off the ground. Because we have had a
team
problem
challenge.
With water. I know. There are options.
Just tape it to your wall.
But also credit card debt.
Right.
I need to be a grown-up. But PC.
a grown-up's overrated.
But yeah, so on PC, like... What the two experiences I had today are very rare on PC for me. Like, you're able to usually at least communicate, like, because a lot of those people, they outright don't know composition, and it's really hard when you can't communicate with them. Yes, agreed. But maybe they don't even know that composition is an important thing.
Do they know what the word composition means?
Probably not. Again, pants on head. It was really bad in the second match we played because we had, like, that was the worst one. We just had nobody on our team knew about composition. So the other 4 people on our team, the first thing they pick was, like, they had...
Bastion and Torbjorn.
No, it was
that
a...
That was
it
the
was
first
a
game?
Yeah, that was
that
the
was
first
the
game.
First
the
game.
Second game, there was a Hanzo... 2 junk rats and a tracer were the other 4 teammates, and they just kind of stuck through that.
So me and him were going to do our Birds of War.
Yes.
Because it was on Ilios. I'm like, okay, we can dominate. 2 junk rats the terrible team, like, well, I guess I'll do Lucio because we have no support.
And then we had no tank.
And we had no tank, so Jesse switched to Zarya. Own Roadhog, yeah.
I did Zarya later, but yeah, I did Roadhog at first. Either way, the enemy team, the point of this, the enemy team went with a straight-up tournament composition. Like a tournament-level
composition. And they were not a team of six.
No, they were not.
They were
all random.
There was one team of two, and the rest were just individuals.
Yeah. And yeah, they went hardcore. Like, it was double soldier, a tracer, and double tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that tournament composition. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so I have very rarely seen that in any of my games on PC. And at this point, my hours on PC have outmatched my hours on console.
I think that's the only thing that's really going to stop me from doing, on top of having to spend another $40 on the game, just like all of my pretty legendaries. Because at this point, I have legendaries for all of my mains.
Yeah. I bought a $20 box, or like a $20 set of boxes, mm-hmm, on a console, or a PC rather, and that made up the difference, because since I saved $40, or I saved $20 getting the non-Origins edition,
mm-hmm,
I bought that $20 box, and I actually got all the legendaries I wanted, and enough currency to get the other legendary that I wanted, the Hanzo skin that I didn't have. So, yeah, no, it works out. And again, skins are, you know, they're just skins.
It's,
yeah,
too bad you can't sort of transfer your account and just kind of have them linked.
I was
together.
Really hoping you'd be able to do that, because, yeah, it's all through your Blizzard ID.
Right, you can link it up, like, you link up your PSN with your Blizzard ID.
Which mine is. Yep. So just let me do it.
I heard earlier today about a game that was doing that. I can't remember what it was. It's coming out soon, but you can transfer your account between PC or Xbox.
Into the microphone, JR.
Oh, man, did I do it again?
you're also kind of, like, trailing off. But, yeah, nice clear project right into that little guy right there. Yeah. But anyway.
It gets lost in my long neck.
So, the PC version.
But those updates will be interesting to see on top of the, because, like, I'm super excited about Zenyatta getting boosted.
Yes.
Yeah,
dude. He's a character I actually enjoy just playing. Like, I can be good with him sometimes, but he's just so squishy it's hard to be. But, like, if they up my speed and give me just a little bit more shield, I'm gonna mess them up.
Yeah, no, I'm actually really excited about the Zenyatta changes, because that's my favorite support right now.
Mm-hmm.
I play Lucio because he's clearly better,
right?
But like, Zenyatta's my favorite,
and D.Va. Like, I'm really excited to start playing with her more, because I really liked her in the beta, but I've almost not touched her at all since then. But now that her ult no longer damages her, the way they're handling her bullet,
her defense matrix,
and her damage buff question
Ish.
Mark.
That has not been official.
Sticks, yeah.
But yeah, no, like, I'm pretty excited about the changes. I'm excited for that patch to go live. They are talking about making a couple of changes, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, with more video game news, Evolve is now free to play. plus the microtransactions are all still there. So congratulations for finally putting your game at the price point it was designed
that
to be
it
at.
Deserved.
For those of you that didn't listen to my 3 episodes of Gripe Fest about Evolve and a DLC done wrong.
And not only that, but like, that was one of our tipping points of us actually dedicating an entire show to don't pre-order games.
Yep. Because that one was just a nightmare. Like, everything about Evolve was done wrong.
I looked it up. It launched day one DLC, $180 worth of microtransactions.
Available at the beginning. And their whole rationale behind it, if you guys didn't want microtransactions, you should be willing to pay more than $60 for a game. Basically, they just blamed the consumer for their outrage.
Ooh.
And then they were real surprised when no one bought their game.
Yep, real surprised. It's just because they toted it as this really cool, like, Left 4 Dead, like, 4v1 style game. And it sounded really cool, and I was actually really excited about it up until, you know, they started talking about all of this DLC, all this day one nonsense. Like, if you didn't pre-order the game, then you lost out on $15 worth of content that you had to pay for later.
On top of the locked pre-order bonuses from each individual retailer.
Right.
So if you pre-ordered it at Best Buy, you got something different than the people who pre-ordered it at Amazon or GameStop or Walgreens, probably.
Because they get exclusive stuff.
Why? Dalton?
Do they really?
Yeah.
They get exclusive pop
toys.
Yeah, they get pop vinyls, action, like, there's Marvel Legend action figures that are, like, Walgreens
exclusives. For some
reason.
At Walgreens.
Maybe, like, I'm assuming that Walgreens is a much bigger thing. Like, because, I mean, in St. Louis, not only are they everywhere, but they're bigger.
Yeah.
So maybe we just have like a...
Like
maybe
Walgreens and Perryville and Cape are just these little bitty things that nobody ever thinks about.
Because why would we? Why would they, yeah, being the, in Cape and Perryville?
The only time that I have ever seen Walgreens busy, every single year, it never fails. Thanksgiving Day, my mom has forgotten something. So I have to go to Walgreens on my way to her house for Thanksgiving dinner. And that is the only day of the year that I'm in Walgreens, except for here recently when we went in with Dalton to get his exclusive figures. Mm-hmm. The line always, every year, is from the front of the door all the way back to the photo section. It's just, that's just the way it is. And I, yeah, it's awful. And I imagine, like, though, like the days that everywhere else is closed, being like, you know, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, and I think that's really it. Those 2 days of the year probably make enough money for Walgreens and Cape to justify being open all year round. Especially, like, there's a better pharmacy in Schnucks, which is in the same parking lot as Walgreens. digital photography is becoming such that, like, photo labs are no longer relevant. Like, yeah. It's, yeah, like, I don't understand how our Walgreens is still open. Well, no, I do. I just said
Thanksgiving
and Christmas.
Well, I mean, they still do the process of taking your digital photos and making them into actual photos.
Yeah. That's true, but you can buy, like, a high-scale photo printer now for, like, $50.
Yeah.
People like my mom aren't smart enough for that.
You're not
wrong. I don't know. My mom figured it out. Like, I bought her an actual, like, for her birthday. Also, shout out to my mom, who will not listen to this, but her birthday's tomorrow, so. because one of her birthday presents in the past years was a dedicated digital camera printer. You just put in your memory card, and then you select which photos on there that you want printed, and it just goes out. You just got to buy the special kind of paper.
Yeah,
but that's pretty sick.
No, the photo printers you can buy are like you get almost the same quality you would if you went to a professional photo lab.
And even then, you just have to put in that kind
as
of
long
paper,
as you get the actual
right?
Photo paper, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to get that glossy photo paper stuff, which. Like, if you get a lot of stuff printed, it's way cheaper to just get one of those printers and some of that paper.
Yeah.
I refuse to stop using my Game Boy camera.
I do, but I go to Walgreens for, like, anytime I get sick, I was like, okay, it'll be cheap enough to get their branded DayQuil or whatever I need.
See, Schnucks, same thing, but they have a lot of, like, the, especially if you have stuff that you have to get a prescription filled for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the more common stuff, like when I just needed penicillin for a, I think I had strep or something like that, or just I a sinus infection.
You just need antibiotics.
I just needed antibiotics. They were free at Schnucks. Like, even Walmart has, like, they're on the $10 list, but it's still $10.
Huh.
Like, yeah, Schnucks, I just handed them the prescription, and they gave me the pills.
Are you sure you didn't just, like, steal them?
Positive.
Like, they're just like, okay, here you go, and then you just started walking off like, that'll be $13.50. sir?
No, because...
it was an ear infection. You didn't hear anything.
Because my doctor asked me, I was like, so where do you get your prescriptions filled? And I was like,
whatever has the shortest drive-through line?
Right, I was like, I have never gotten a prescription filled for myself. And she's like, well, this one's going to be on Schnucks free list, so just go there. Or she asked me if I lived. She asked me if I lived in Cape. I was like, yeah, and like, well, Schnucks has their free list, so there you go. So I just went into Schnucks, and they're like, here you go.
Hooray.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so no, Schnucks is awesome. I mean, I love Schnucks in general, but...
You know what else is on the free list?
What's that?
Evolve. On Steam now.
Perfect segue.
Nailed it.
That's pretty good.
Back into the topic that we have been talking about already.
No, garbage game.
Garbage game. Garbage game is now, like, the appropriate price. I kind of want to play it now that it's free.
Yeah, because it seems... Especially if you can get, like, a good group of people.
Right.
Because, I mean, communication is such a key component in that game that... That's the thing... That's honestly the main reason I didn't buy it. Same with, like, Payday. Because it's like, I don't, if none of my friends are playing it, my experience with just random online people is like, I'm not going to have a good time
purely
doing
negative.
This. Yeah, so, guess yeah. I'll miss that.
I've done the same thing with a lot of games. So yeah, now we'll go ahead and move straight into comic books.
Yeah.
We have the all new Marvel Now, is what I'm calling it. They're just calling it Marvel Now. A lot of the internet's calling it Marvel Now 2.0. I like all new Marvel Now.
All new Marvel Now you.
All new Marvel Now you. So we've got a bunch of stories coming up starting, I think, next month. So I'm actually going to be in Villainous Grounds this Friday, shout out, adding several books to my list because I do want quite a few of these.
I'm going to get there on Thursday.
Well. So anyway, yeah, the all-new Marvel Now. Death of X is going to be one of the big ones they've been talking about. That's going to be the first one I want to talk about, which is I want to read it, but I don't care. They've established that this is a prequel story. So for those of you that have heard about Death of X, you've seen stuff posted like X-Men are dying or X-Men are dead or whatever, or Marvel's killing off the X-Men. They clearly haven't because, again, this takes place in the 8 months between Secret Wars and All New, All Different. The Death of X storyline, that is. And it is about the conflict between the Inhumans and the X-Men, or the mutants. Yes, JR? You look like you want to say something.
I don't know. Before the show started, I made a parallel about that this whole thing being the Marvel equivalent of Death and Return of Superman. It is the equivalent of Death and Return of Superman.
A little bit. I don't know. Like, a lot of people have said, and I really agree with the point, that as an X-Men fan, my favorite storylines are when the entire mutant race is in peril. But most of those storylines have had a cool reason for them being in peril. Like Days of Future Past, the House of M, Extinction X. Mm-hmm. That was another one. Yeah, all of those are, like, they're fun storylines. They're good. They have, like, you know, big villains that are...
believable.
Yeah, believable threats.
Borderline relatable.
Yeah.
Not relatable as much as just, like, their motivations are clear.
Yes.
Like, okay, yeah, you're a dick, but I get why you're being a dick.
Yep. So, yeah, and what... The Messiah Complex, that was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of these different storylines, like, they all have realistic reasons for the possible genocide of the mutant race.
Now, spoiler alert, because I actually know what the Inhumans' motivation is for why they want the mutants extinct.
No, what's that?
Movie.
Movie rights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually Marvel... They kind of wanted to just completely separate the X-Men entirely from the Marvel Universe, kind of kill them off.
They wanted to put them on the moon!
Planet X!
Did that really happen?
They wanted to move the mutants, because the Terrigen Mists are poison to the mutants. So, well, we can't live on Earth anymore. We have to go. Our planet needs us.
But, yeah, they were going
to
go.
And all the X-Men died on the way back to their home planet. Like, that's what Marvel wanted to do.
They were going to have an ongoing Marvel, like, X-Men book, but it wasn't going to involve the rest of the Marvel universe at all. It was going to be a completely separate entity, and they were just going to be on their own planet doing mutant things.
So they came to the reasonable middle ground of, okay, well, we're not just going to strand you on the moon. What if we put you in purgatory?
Limbo.
Neat.
Oh, sorry. Limbo.
Purgatory is better.
Yeah, but Limbo is an actual place in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
and
that's where the Leviathan were, and they were just trash.
Yeah, basically, why can't I remember her name?
Yep.
X-Men. Jubilee. Rogue.
Colossus' little sister.
Kitty Pryde.
Negasonic Teenage Magic. Warhead.
There you go. Magic, yes. Ileana Rasputin. I don't know why I couldn't think of Magic. But anyway, yeah, she's got power over Limbo. Like, that's just kind of her domain.
Wow.
So she set up a little sanctuary free from the Terrigen Mists for all of the mutants.
How convenient.
It works.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the middle ground, I guess, until this conflict is over. I guess they might figure out a way to get the Terrigen Mists out of the sky.
No, they won't.
I really don't know. Well, I mean, they're going to. That's the way these stories always end. The X-Men always end up all right in the end.
Ish. Superman always comes back.
Ish. Yeah. Ish is probably a good word. I don't know. Hopefully, if Fox ever strikes a deal with Marvel, then we'll have, like, you know, better X-Men villains back.
Maybe they'll all come back with black suits and mullets.
No.
Death and Return of Superman.
No.
We get it. We don't want it.
We don't. We absolutely... Marvel, we don't. Don't listen to him.
Don't worry, it's not going to happen. It doesn't require killing everyone.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the Death of X storyline, like, it doesn't interest me a whole lot. Like, I kind of want to read about the conflict, but we already know how it resolves. And that's why I don't really care. Because the mutants are still fine.
Oh, well, okay, so what I didn't understand when you were telling us about this before the show is when you said it was a prequel story, I assumed that the prequel was building to something that is currently ongoing. Like, oh, so whenever this Death of X happens, that's going to launch into whatever the book is that starts, you know, after where Secret Wars picks up. Not that, nope, it's already resolved. Want to know how we got there?
Read this.
Not really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and, like, there is conflict right now. Like, they're Inhumans that, you know, like, they still believe themselves to be
the true next step in
evolution, like the human evolution, which is mm-hmm. silly because they were mutations by the Kree.
Right.
And I feel like most of the, like, I thought that was public knowledge, but maybe it's not. Either way, the mutants are different, and they don't like them, and they're the bad guys, except the Inhumans aren't bad guys. They just don't like mutants. It's the lamest villain ever that's tried to make the mutants go extinct.
I don't even necessarily agree with that. Like, the Inhumans as a collective force can be a really formidable, cool thing. Just the arbitrary, hey, there's behind-the-scenes issues with movie rights, so that's why you guys are fighting. We can put a fake reason in the book, but everyone knows that it's just because Marvel can't say mutants in any of their movies.
Well, and the
it's
other thing,
depressing.
It really is. Well, and the other thing, like, it's not even like the Inhumans aren't actually their enemies. There are small groups of Inhumans,
mm-hmm.
but the Inhuman Order, like the family with Black Bolt, Karnak, Medusa, all mm-hmm. of those people, they're
Lockjaw.
Fine with mutants. Lockjaw,
right?
They've existed for centuries.
So what you're saying is, these small radical groups don't necessarily represent the society as a whole.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't agree with that.
Yeah. I gotta hate them all.
You're
or
either
none
good
of them.
Or you're evil. That's it.
No in between.
Gotta yeah. hate them all.
So, yeah, and like their real enemy right now is the Terrigen Mists in the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
which you'd think.
Which isn't even like a sentient.
It's not. It's just mists in the air.
Oh. So, spoiler alert, at some point, someone is going to put a sentientized version of the Terrigen Mists as a villain.
No.
I hope not.
No.
Would it be like...
Oh, no. I'm calling my shot.
No.
Remind me 1 year that Terrigen the True is going to, like, come in and just be like, hey, Professor X is back. Dead again.
If anything, the Kree are going to weaponize the mists somehow.
Yeah.
Then they'll turn it into mind control on anybody that hit the mists. That would be my guess. But like, what I don't understand is, if it's just mists in the atmosphere, you have people that exist on this planet
that
like Tony Stark.
And Storm!
And
who can control the atmosphere?
So you have these people that can do all this. Like, why hasn't somebody just built like a neat little vacuum?
They're busy.
And just like soaked it all, or like a neutralizing agent, something. Well, they have been working on the neutralizing agent, but or somebody is, I don't know. The point is, it's a silly foe,
because all of their super geniuses are getting Marvel is not
Marvel's doing silly
Marvel's
things
going
right
full
now.
Nintendo except without the profit.
Yeah,
you never
go
full Nintendo.
The rest of the all-new Marvel Now, there are a few books in there that actually look really good that I'm kind of excited about, and they're the ones that I'm going to talk about. Because as much crap as I give it with Riri Williams, I can't say that name with a straight face.
Mega Man 7?
The new Iron Man, or the new Iron Woman.
One of the new Iron Mans.
Yeah, she seems like an interesting character. And the book might be interesting. I understand, like, what I'm afraid they're doing is just they saw how successful Jane Foster's Thor was. And it has been amazingly successful. We've gotten some of the best stories out of Thor in decades from Jane Foster as Thor. And I just hope they're not trying to do this just because that was good.
And for those who don't know what Jesse's talking about, Iron Man is no longer going to be Tony Stark in the suit. The new Iron Man is going to be a 15-year-old girl.
Yes.
Who built an Iron Man suit
in
her basement.
Yeah. Or garage,
that's
one
a
of the
good
two.
Idea.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I
like I said, she seems like she could be a really interesting character, and moving forward it could be kind of cool, especially if she joins in the Champions roster, which I'll talk about in a minute.
15-year-old and a mech. It's been done. It's called Gundam.
And D.Va.
And D.Va. And, I mean, it's been done other ways. But either way, like, there was a Spider-Man suit, the Iron Spider suit, originally had Cho Chang in it, I think. And
wasn't
when
it
he
Amadeus
was like six, Cho? Amadeus Cho.
Yeah.
Not Cho Chang.
Yeah, that's a Harry Potter game.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, what? Wizards are in this now?
Amadeus Cho, who's now a Hulk. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah. Like, Amadeus Cho became
a
Hulk.
Is he a Spider Hulk?
He's got his own book, The Totally Awesome Hulk.
And it sucks.
It does.
The title sucks.
I've heard just such
terrible things about it. It's not good. No bueno. He's just
Hulk.
Not an interesting character. Like, She-Hulk is the only Hulk that people have been interested in the last, like, 5 years, except for,
I disagree. Mark Waid's
Indestructible Hulk was really good.
Because that was one of the freshest takes of Hulk we've gotten in a really long time.
And it was awesome.
Because
it
was a blend of the best versions of Hulk that we'd seen before, which was, there's no control, it's just Hulk and Banner are completely separate entities, and, no, Bruce Banner can kind of have some sort of, he can
guide him.
He can aim the Hulk.
Yeah.
And so they were basically like, okay, Banner and Hulk now have an agreement with each other that Hulk isn't always in control, and Banner can kind of, again, aim the Hulk when S.H.I.E.L.D. needs him, when he's not doing, when he's not solving world hunger and the drinking water problem on Tuesday.
The slogan was, Hulk destroys, Banner builds. It was an awesome story.
Yeah.
That,
like, I really
that
liked
sounds
Indestructible
awesome.
Hulk. And he was working on basically all these, like, world-ending problems and all this other stuff, like, in his free time, and, you know, as a member of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. funded his research to be able to stop all of these global catastrophes, and then, oh, hey, Hulk, go beat up this thing, because it's going to kill everything.
And then they would just drop Hulk there, Hulk would, you know, beat up everything, and they would move forward.
Yep.
It was cool. Like, I liked it. And they saw past Thor, that was real neat in one of the storylines.
Mm-hmm.
It was neat. I liked it. Either way, but it didn't sell well. Like, I thought it was a good story.
Which is a bummer, yeah.
Yeah, because that's why they stopped it.
I think because this was on the heels of a really terrible Hulk story.
Yeah.
So even a new, like, someone like Mark Waid, who had already proven that Daredevil could be a viable character.
Well, then again, Indestructible Hulk started shortly after his Daredevil run.
Yeah.
Like they were in the same Marvel Now.
Yeah. Because I remember, because that's the reason I started reading Indestructible Hulk, was because Daredevil was so good.
Right. A lot of
it was only
did.
Like 2-3 issues into Daredevil when that launched.
Right. That was that. But, yeah, like, Amadeus Cho as Hulk has not been great. Hopefully it'll go better. But
I don't understand Marvel's obsession with taking established characters and deciding, you need to be, insert, like, new person here. Like, why?
I don't. Some of them have worked out really well, though.
Yeah, like Jane Foster's Thor has been really good.
Miss Marvel is Kamala Khan.
Has
Ms.
been
Marvel.
Good. I like Captain Falcon as Captain America.
Yeah, Sam Wilson's Falcon
but
has been great.
It's just, you know, like we said before the show, like, everyone gets so up in arms anytime a white actor portrays a traditionally non-white character in a movie, but now it's okay for established characters to be replaced by what they haven't been in the past. Like, I don't just do. I'm not. I don't know.
I
don't. I'm like, I have no problem with it. Like, it's just, I don't understand why it needs to happen.
It's just, they're trying to do new stuff, I guess, to keep everything fresh
and
like bring in new
and
people.
I have no problem with them trying to do like new stuff, but I don't think, why can't you just make a new character?
That's the problem. Like, and I mean, that's the problem with a lot of different kinds of media. Like, new IPs, people don't trust. They don't want to spend money on something they've never heard of.
Right.
So bringing in something new under an old IP is a way to introduce and create a new character, and, you know, get people interested. Because, I mean, as much as, like, there's a controversy around Riri Williams as Invincible Iron Man, I haven't been reading the Iron Man books because I haven't given a shit about Iron Man in a long time.
Yeah.
But
I don't think adding a new person behind the suit isn't going to fix those problems. At least not for me, personally.
For me, I'm actually interested in reading it. Like, I'm interested in giving it a shot.
I can totally understand the mindset of recreating the character behind the suit. Because, like, there's a very certain sect of the internet that will just complain forever about how the comic book worlds are just filled with white dudes and objectified women.
Oh, no, yeah. Like, it absolutely
That's
is.
A thing.
And,
yeah.
Like, I'm not denying that
when,
at all.
When, in the past, when comic books have tried to, like, diversify their characters, you get characters that, like, despite having been the best intentions, end up being really racist, like Black Lightning.
Like, or how Black Panther
Black
started.
Racer. Yeah. Yeah. Or the Apache Chief. Like, yeah. All those guys ended up just being really, really racist
it's
characters.
Like, it's like Power Rangers. Like, the first season of Power Rangers. You made the black guy the Black Ranger, made the Asian woman the Yellow Ranger, the white girls the Pink Ranger. Like, and for the record, like, I also don't like whenever, like, an established minority character is portrayed by a white person. Like, it doesn't upset me fundamentally, but I'm like, really? You couldn't, like, Gods of Egypt has to have this many white people in it?
Yeah.
Like, that seems kind of silly to me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't like it when it happens both ways. Like, don't get me wrong, I am all for more diverse characters and for the roster of, like, the Justice League and the Avengers to not just be different shades of white buff male. Like, that's, or, you know, sex symbol.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at, like, my favorite example of that is the early 2000s, late 90s Justice League cartoon, where literally every character model was exactly the same with different shades of white dude and different costume,
mm-hmm.
and then you had Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
There's the token black guy as the Lantern. Oh,
Martian yep. Manhunter was green.
Most of the time.
He was voice acted by a black guy.
And he turned into a white guy frequently.
So, but, like, so I don't have a, like, so like I said, like, it's,
he sure did.
I don't like it when it happens either way. I just, whenever you have, like, I don't think, to me personally, I don't think having Tony Stark be replaced by a 15-year-old girl, like, that doesn't make me more interested. And, like, maybe do something, especially with how bad Civil War II has been. Like, Bendis, it seems, can't tell a compelling story without having to kill seven names.
Yeah, I...
Like, that's how he raises the stakes, is through death. Like, I just... No, that's bad writing, and...
I mean, you're not wrong, and it's one of those things, like, I really understand from a marketing point why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to bring in new and more diverse characters, but, like I said a minute ago, like, the IP, like, you bringing in new IPs is scary.
Yeah.
And getting people to pick up on stuff, because it may be successful, it may not.
And to me, like, with Secret Wars, you had a perfect opportunity to bring in a bunch of new IPs. There is this new universe where, yeah, Iron Man and Captain America and... the Falcon, and, like, all of these established heroes are here. But then you also have Miles Morales. He's going to continue being Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, like, oh, hey, so now there's these other... The universe wasn't just recreated for the superheroes. It was for everyone else. So who's to say that this didn't lead to all sorts of different people gaining all sorts of different powers?
And, I mean, they have...
And to me, like, what I think, like, what JR talked about, like, and kind of you talked about, like, in the early 90s and late 80s, whenever it was, like, Apache Chief and all these, like, super racist caricatures, like, maybe don't make the Native American guy be some sort of war chief.
Yeah.
His superhero identity doesn't need to be wrapped around... His heritage.
Which is what, like, Batman Incorporated did, but, yeah. Like, in a different way.
Batman Incorporated was awesome. It wasn't nearly as racist. Like, it was...
I mean, it wasn't racist, but it was funny. I didn't like Batman Inc. I don't
either.
Like Grant Morrison. Like, I'll say it. It's a very unpopular opinion. I don't like him.
He
can't tell
suggest,
a fucking story like, without time travel. Shiza, I dropped the first F-bomb.
I didn't do it this time.
I haven't said a swear word yet.
I do occasionally.
I've been checking myself. I think I've been all right.
I've stopped myself a couple of times, but when I start talking about, like, Grant Morrison, like, he really can't tell a story without time travel.
You're Grant Morrison, time travel, and me, Bendis, and killing characters.
Uh-huh.
And especially in comic books when the death doesn't necessarily always stick.
Because of time travel.
I was actually going
retcon.
To suggest a thing like that, where, like, if, I don't know if it's 100% confirmed that Iron Man Tony Stark is not going to be in the suit anymore, or and it's just the girl.
It's just it's one of those.
He doesn't look to be.
It's a running theory because
he
doesn't have an actual book.
Because, like, Iron Man Inc. would be a sweet concept.
Yeah,
because he has so many of those damn suits anyway.
Except for with what happened to Rhodey in Civil War II, I think that's might be why he's going to step down.
Don Cheadle
and he would probably do what?
Did Don Cheadle die?
Well, not Don Cheadle. The character that Don Cheadle portrays in the movies. Yeah.
No.
He got blown up.
Don't worry,
up.
Like, four other people did too.
Yeah, because Bendis is writing it. Like, Asa wasn't wrong.
No, yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I think Marvel and DC, like, they're just doing opposite. Like, they're doing the total opposite. Marvel's like, okay, no one's reading our books. Okay, we're going to change every character.
Well, except the thing about, like, Marvel is people were reading their books. Like, All New, All Different was fairly popular. Like, they have at least six books that are that were consistently in bestsellers, like, constantly pulled. And a couple of even surprise hits, like The Visions.
Yeah.
Everybody is agreeing that that's, like, the best thing to come out of All New, All Different. And characters are coming on for that. We're at 50 minutes, so we're gonna speed up a little bit here. But yeah, I'm actually excited about reading it. Like, I'm interested in the new character. Apparently, Riri Williams seems like she's a cool character. I'll pick up at least the first couple of issues and see what
Check
I think
out
of it.
First arc at least.
She's like in MIT, right at 15.
Yeah,
super
like
smart.
She's
it's not like some girl like stumbled into a suit of like Iron Man.
Builds
armor.
Her own
she
Iron
actually,
Man
like,
kit.
She's an.
They
in her
do,
own right,
they didn't
like
go Ant-Man on this one.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't get a...
You didn't go Scott Lang.
Yeah, Scott Lang.
Who was the superior Ant-Man?
Scott Lang is an awesome Ant-Man.
Fight me.
Hank Pym is okay.
No.
I like his
wrong.
Name.
Hank Pym is garbage. He's the...
He's been rewritten too many times. Like, his character has changed.
Suck.
Yeah, his character has changed so many ways. Just, it, like...
Do you want to be a wife-beater, a mind-controlled wife-beater, or just a D-bag?
Wow.
That's Hank Pym.
Yeah,
I've never read Ant-Man.
That's fine.
Like at all.
Yeah, no, that's basically his character arc summed up.
Yeah.
70 years of character.
Nice.
So anyway, Doctor Doom is also going to be we don't know anything about what this like why this is happening, but yeah, Doctor Doom seems like he's going to be the feature of an Iron Man book.
Which they have to not like as much as I railed on Batman v Superman for Batman killing and that being just a total departure from an established character, Dr. Doom picking up either someone's mantle or someone else's equipment is a huge departure.
But
the only thing I could see is if it's a complete rehash of a story Marvel already did with Superior Spider-Man, where Dr. Octavius was forced into Peter Parker's body and said, I'm going to do this better than you.
It's
Which
definitely
was a
not
cool story.
That. It was an awesome story.
Oh, it was a great story.
But the basically what I'm looking at here, and it's one of those things, like, it is a complete departure from character, but what you mentioned was lacking, if they're going to do that, is a backstory for it, like a reason, like why. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think being God and then being deposed as God is a pretty significant character change and might cause you to rethink things in general.
For Doom, though... He's just one-dimensional enough that the only thing Doom would want is to reclaim that god power.
You're not entirely wrong, but well, it's one of those things. Like, he had godhood in his hands.
Right, no, yeah, he was totally God.
And he lost it, and he wasn't happy while he was God. And I think that's a thing.
I haven't read Secret War, so I don't know. I just know the broad strokes of what happened. So some of the, like, finer character work.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, he made Sue Storm his wife. Yeah.
Bendis wrote Secret Wars, right?
Some of it.
He killed literal universes.
He's building them back. Huh. He set up at the end. They're coming back. But anyway, it's one of those things. Like, I don't know. I'm interested to see. Moving on to something happier, though, with Mark Waid, speaking of. He's got two books coming
Close
up in this.
Really?
Avengers 1.1. No, we met him.
I met him.
And we
gushed,
fangirled at him a little bit.
Jesse did it in inside voice. I did it just... out loud all over him.
Did you scream at him?
No, but I was like...
He did a little bit of word vomit at him.
Yeah, I was like, you saved Daredevil and you made him a better character and you thank you so much.
Is that how you said it?
Not, I mean, I exaggerated
a little
bit.
That's what he vaguely remembers.
Yeah, that's close enough that you can understand what happened.
Yeah.
So either way.
It was real embarrassing.
Avengers 1.1. He's going to be working on a book basically exploring some... older stories, like it's going to be classic Avengers back in like the 80s for them. So that's going to be kind
Hammer
of neat.
Pants for everybody.
The only way that I could be more excited 90s. About that is if the artist was the people who worked on Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon.
That'd be neat.
An
it's
old
not,
Avengers
but...
story in that art style, like classic Avengers team, I'd be all over it. Like X-Men 92, how they're doing stuff like that.
They
I would be all over that.
It does look like a classic kind of art style. I'll show you a picture afterward.
Okay.
It looks kind of neat. But anyway, he's also going to be working on Champions, which from the looks of it is basically the new version of the All New, All Different Avengers, which is an incredible book that I'm reading right now. And it's actually going to have basically all the kids in the group, because it's got Sam Alexander, I think that's his name, Nova. And it's got Miss Marvel in it, Miles Morales is in it, and then the adults of the team are
Iron Man, Captain America, and Falcon.
Falcon is the layman term for Sam Wilson's Captain America, because it's Falcon taking over the mantle of Captain America.
Yeah, it's
he
hilarious.
Still even has the bird. Yeah. Like Red Wing's still chilling with him. So anyway, and Vision, and that's the team. Yeah. And Jane Foster, Thor.
Yes.
So like that's the current all-new, all-different Avengers team, plus possibly the new Wasp. The new team is going to have just all youngsters, including the young Cyclops from the past, because I guess they're still not going back. Miss Marvel's still going to be in it. Nova's going to be in it. Viv Vision, which that's Vision's synthesoid daughter from the Visions book.
Mm-hmm.
She's
that's
going to be on
mouthful.
The team. It really is.
So it's Young Justice.
Kind of. And then Amadeus Cho as like Kid Hulk is going to be in it. But Mark Waid is writing it, and if anybody can make Hulk good, as we discussed earlier, it's Mark Waid.
Yeah,
so much respect
for
that man.
There's just so much more of a character behind Bruce Banner.
There is.
Than Cho.
You're right.
And not just because, you know, Banner had 60-plus years of
character
potential character development.
To pull from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll definitely be picking it up, because as much as I'm liking all new, all different Avengers, I'll probably like this one too. Because
mm-hmm.
They're not calling themselves Avengers. The name of the book is Champions, and yeah, it's just the kids have made a team. So yeah, Young Justice. And they might have some support from the adults. I don't know. Because we still don't know what's going to happen to all the adults after
I still don't understand.
Civil War.
Yeah, because Civil War is going to, you know, just literal weeks. And just weeks after Secret Wars, and the dust is kind of settling after one giant cluster bomb of a shakeup in the universe. Let's do another one.
Yep, another like mini, like it's like an aftershock.
They don't understand pacing.
It's like every Call of Duty review you ever hear about the single player. When you just go from one explosive plot point to another, and there's no time to actually like let things
settle,
sink in
so you
and
can
settle,
understand
so you can
what
process
happened.
What happened. Yeah. You're just going from like one adrenaline rush to another, and at a certain point, like
you don't care anymore.
No, yeah, because nothing's going to matter. Like everything that's established in this story is going to be completely upended by the next story.
Yep, that's a thing. So moving forward from that, though, because we're on a real low, Jessica Jones is getting her own book again, because as of right now, the only thing she's in is
Power Man and Iron Fist.
Power Man and Iron Fist is a background character because she's married to Luke Cage. The Unworthy Thor is...
That one I'm actually really curious about.
I am also curious about that book. It's going to be about Thor Odinson, the original Thor, trying to find another hammer and prove himself worthy of it so he can reclaim the mantle, assumingly aside Jane Foster.
Because
but
he still hasn't...
So far as I'm aware, yeah, we still don't know what made him unworthy.
Because what was that book? It wasn't Fear Itself. Original Sin.
Yeah.
In Original Sin, when whatever...
Because
Nick Fury
got the...
The original Nick Fury whispered something to Thor that made him unworthy or made him believe himself to be unworthy. The actual bits of it, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, there was something that happened.
And that's
why
Jane Foster ended up...
Picking up the hammer. Cancer-ridden Jane Foster.
It'll be... I'm hoping so they dark. Resolve that. Like, I really hope they resolve, like,
what happened.
And then even not, like, necessarily, like, oh, the first arc, he's immediately worthy again, but we at least find out what
made him
unworthy.
Not worthy.
Because
yeah.
It's like we said before the show, like, whenever there's such a, when there's a that big of a dynamic character shift, you got to at least show it. And granted, they did show the unworthy happen. I want to know why.
And it may have happened, and I don't know about it.
I don't think it did.
Because I haven't heard about it.
Because I actually just remember a couple... I mean, granted, this was like a month or two ago, but like someone was talking about like annoying FAQs in one of the Marvel subreddits, and that was one of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a thing. One of the other books I'm kind of excited about, Cage. It's going to be a period piece featuring Luke Cage in the 70s, and it's going to be written by the creator of Samurai Jack. That one looks kind of neat. I'm kind of interested in it. The cover art's got, you know, just this super goofy drawn Luke Cage with the afro and everything.
Right.
And it's great.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited about that one. There's a ton of more of them, including like a U.S. Avengers book that looked kind of neat. That includes like the a new Iron Patriot. We've got Danielle Cage from the future is back somehow. Red Hulk's in it. It looks neat. And he's just rocking like the super mustache, like in like the manliest way he's done it in a while. It's kind of cool.
Is Red Hulk still
Thunderbolt Ross?
Thunderbolt, okay.
Yeah. As far as I'm aware.
The military guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he managed to recreate the accident and made himself into the Red Hulk.
To prove that he could be a superior Hulk.
Yep.
Because that's one thing Marvel villains love to do.
You're not wrong.
I'm better than the good guy. But then they're not.
So childish.
Also, and you said Iron Fist is getting one.
Yes. Oh, well. Iron Fists is what it's called, so I don't know what that means.
Sounds
but
dirty.
It was plural. Ooh. Might be more than one. He might take on Apprentice.
I mean, he's got two
know.
Hands, right?
He does.
Hey, I can catch this one on fire, too. You guys. Game changer.
This Jesus. Is. I've never noticed the left. Anyway, so real quick though, I did want to talk about Ghostbusters. We can have an entire show on Marvel Now stuff.
We're
but
doing Ghostbusters on Thursday too.
Yes,
so
we're going to talk a whole lot more about that. But for those out there that are listening now that may not listen to Thursday's show, which you should, it's a fun one. It's a little offensive sometimes, but it's fun. Anyway, me, Lindsay, and Shannon saw Ghostbusters Thursday
night.
Yeah, in lieu of a show. Because we just weren't feeling it, and we really wanted to
we
see
wanted
Ghostbusters.
We wanted to go watch Ghostbusters. Sorry.
Yeah. Also, we were very tired after we did the Poke Walk.
Yeah, yeah, because that was the store Poke Walk, and that was fun. Anyway, we saw it. I actually really enjoyed the movie.
I did too. I really liked it. I laughed a lot.
I did too. Chris Hemsworth.
My face hurt when I was done.
Chris Hemsworth was amazing.
Yes.
Thor's in it.
Thor's in it.
Yes.
As the really dumb secretary.
And he did an amazing job.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Like, all of the women did great. Like, I didn't hate Leslie Jones near as much as I thought I would.
No, not at all.
Like,
the cameos were good.
Cameos were fantastic. Like, all four cameos were great.
You heard him right.
Five. Sorry.
Five?
Yeah.
Six.
Oh. Six.
Because I forgot the one at the very end.
20. Yeah. 20 of them.
Because if you haven't seen it, because I haven't seen it yet, but I do know that there is a post-credit scene
at the very end.
But then there's also a second post-credit scene that is after everything.
Honestly, the credits in general are entertaining the whole way through it. Like,
that's pretty true because you get to see a lot of.
It wasn't just like
dancing.
Boring scrolling text.
Like if they do a or like how Werenberg did the apocalypse.
They
where
left
they'll
the,
turn
lights
the lights
down.
On.
No, they left them.
Yeah,
down.
They left them down.
But there was also like you. Six people in the theater other than us.
There was not. Like, once we got to the end credits, though, it was just me
it was
and
us,
Shannon.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone
we're the
else
only
left.
Ones that saw the post-credit scene.
So they didn't get to see it.
And it's actually, unlike the Marvel stuff, like, it was story-like information mm-hmm. that was in the post-credit scene.
Huh. The, yes.
I also know that it opened at number 2 this weekend.
Yeah, it actually yeah.
Just,
did really good.
Behind the
Secret Life
Secret
of Pets.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah, which
what?
Has been, like, hugely successful.
Yeah, because it's been at number 1 for 2 weeks
it's
now.
Been
yeah,
for
this
a
is the
weeks,
second
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
what is that, like
weekend.
A Pixar movie or something?
No, it's
DreamWorks.
Yep.
Pixar Light.
You've probably seen the at least the image of
the
headbanging
poodle
rocking out to System of a Down.
No.
Oh, it's the best part.
It's
have
pretty
a good day, Leonard.
It's literally like the Pixar format of here's a thing that isn't sentient. Now they're sentient.
Yep.
They
in
have a
clothes.
Problem. Yeah.
John Ratzenberger plays a tie. Like,
Jesus.
So, yeah, no, it anyway, moving past that, Ghostbusters, like, I'd give it from our Nerd Up official rating scale, I give it a solid matinee. Like and Lindsay, I don't know if you're familiar with the scale
no,
yet.
No, I'm not.
Opening
I'm highly confused.
Opening weekend.
Full price.
Pay full price. Just go see it now.
Uh-huh.
Matinee. Watch it in theaters, but maybe try to find
a
cheaper
price.
Show.
And then rental.
Rent
and then there's skip it.
Gee, you don't have the Pirate Bay?
We try to keep it legal. That Pirate Bay you can put in the same group as rental.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a subset.
Enough.
Yeah.
Go through some effort to see it, maybe.
Right. But yeah, no, that's the scale. Like full price slash opening weekend.
Fair enough.
Matinee, yeah. Rental, skip. So what do you give it?
I can agree with the matinee. Like, it wasn't fabulous, but I've watched other reviews where people were like, oh, it's average, yada, yada, yada. I'd say it's a little above average.
Yeah.
It's so what you're saying is it isn't the worst piece
It's not recorded the pile film of ever. Crap that everyone thought.
But it's
it was
also not
be.
The glowing beacon of pure excellence that the other half of the internet says it is.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm saying I laughed enough that my face hurt when the movie was done.
There are very solidly two camps when
I
it comes
know.
To Ghostbusters.
Yep.
It's the worst thing that's ever been made. It's the greatest thing that's ever been made, and only in, like neither of those people
no
have seen it yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's you're not wrong. But no, honestly, like it's solid. It's worth seeing. Like, if you don't agree with my scale of matinee, it's at the very least worth renting it and checking it out. But yeah, no, I enjoyed the film. It was good. It made me laugh. Melissa McCarthy was not annoying. Leslie Jones wasn't annoying.
There was only a few jokes that probably could have been
so
done
So what you're
without.
Saying is this movie suffered from its Americanized trailers.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to... This is what we think people want
to
see.
To give us all the lowbrow stuff.
There's even stuff in trailers that we were upset about that either
It wasn't in the end of film.
Either wasn't in the film or was explained perfectly.
Yeah.
Huh.
The old, like, there were, like Lindsay said, there was one or two jokes in there that I'm like, really? That didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
But they weren't a huge deal. And of course, Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig were amazing.
Yes.
But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
That's good.
The villain was cool. The idea was neat. I liked it.
Plenty of throwbacks to the original.
Yes.
So I meant to actually ask this in the group chat because I'm curious. Like, I probably won't see it in theaters because I don't have that huge attachment to Ghostbusters that a lot of people do. Like, I didn't even see the Turtles movie, and I think I'm well past being able to see that in theaters at this point.
Yes. I haven't seen it either.
But is it a... Because from the trailers, we couldn't tell, and I know Shannon and Hunter were very much kind of not at odds, but couldn't quite grasp. Is it a just flat-out reboot?
It's a separate universe.
It's a separate universe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you can call it a reboot if you want.
Okay.
But it's
not there, but it's not a continuation of a
correct.
Established
no.
story.
No.
Okay.
Like, it's like,
we
this
assumed
is the
that's
first
what it,
time.
We assumed that's what it would, like, it wasn't going to be, but
yeah.
there was enough there that maybe it could.
Like, I don't understand why they were avoiding the term reboot. Like, it's a new take on the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling it.
Okay.
Previous, like, the equipment and stuff, like, the idea is still the same, but it's not like they found proton packs. They have their own set of scientists
right.
that came
they didn't
up
have
with
to,
it.
Like, hunt down Dr. Venkman and try to...
Right.
No,
yeah.
they have Holtzman, and she's amazing.
Holtzman is awesome. That's Kate McKinnon's character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon's character.
Yeah.
Right
okay.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig is the down-to-earth scientist.
Right.
And
yeah.
Holtzman
she's
the
other
one.
Showstop stealer.
Yes. Yeah, no, it was great. But anyway, so yeah, I think that's going to do it for Nerd Up. So thank you, JR, for joining me. Asa, Lindsay, and everyone, thank you very much for listening. We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.